If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and follow along reading at verse 18. 1 Peter 2 and 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. For you've been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the midst of several challenges that Peter wants to give to his readers, the original readers, and to us as we read now as a portion of God's word. You may remember last week we were challenged to keep our behavior excellent. Be careful how we live. Live in light of who we are and who we belong to. And as much as possible, live in such a way that can be winsome. Then we were challenged to submit to every human institution. We should be good citizens. Are there times when we have to disobey? Yes. When suddenly there is a law, suddenly there is a requirement that violates the Word of God. But that aside, we should demonstrate our citizenship to those around us. The third challenge, here in verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters. Now, it might be tempting to say, oh, okay, this will be a good historical study. I'm nobody's servant. I'm nobody's slave. I don't work for a master. True. But I think it's very easy and without violation to God's word to suggest that this can also apply to our employers and our supervisors. But do not forget, not just in history, there are men and women today who would read this portion and say, that's me. There are godly men and women. We have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are living in slavery. They can understand and see this clearly. we must not dismiss it and the responsibility that we have toward it. So be submissive to your employers, you know, the boss, the guy who signs the check, but also supervisors. Some of you have worked in supervisory positions. But I'd like to extend it one more step and suggest that we also be submissive to our fellow employees, the guys and gals that we work beside. Recognizing at every turn that we have a responsibility to others. He says, first of all, in verse 18, with all respect. So that means you need to be careful about how you talk about those who are in positions over you. Talked about that a little bit last week in terms of our responsibility as good citizens. But how you talk about your employer, the company that you work for. Be respectful. Now that guy may be so far away that that's easy. The supervisor, and that's why I stuck him or her in there, the one you see every day, the one who inspects your work, the one who puts out the schedule. Treat them with respect as well. They have responsibilities over you. They are responsible to others for you. Treat them with respect. But then think also of your fellow employees, the guys and gals that you work with. Recognize their needs, their desires. Submit to them. Encourage them. It doesn't always have to be, you know, who's got seniority around here. Sometimes it needs to just be, how can I help you? Be better at your job, enjoy your job more, encourage you so that at the end of the day you go home ready to spend time with your family. In order to do that, you may need to submit or lay aside some of your own desires to encourage someone else, simply out of respect. Now, some of you will be able to recognize with this better than others, but he says in the last part of verse 18, both the good and gentle and the unreasonable. Now, down through history, slavery has been a part of culture. But within those cultures, and don't misunderstand, this is no statement for slavery, but there have been those who have simply taken advantage of the system and brought into their family individuals that they then cared for. Even at the time of Peter's writing, cities, states, nations would be conquered. The conquered parties would become slaves. Depending upon when and where, over 50% of any population could have been slaves. But when you do that, you enslave, yes, day laborers. But you also enslave doctors, lawyers, teachers, men and women that you would incorporate into your family, into your community. No, they weren't free. Yes, they were still living under the scourge of slavery, but some were treated well. There were others who were not. They were treated like animals. They were abused and consumed, easily replaced. So Peter's saying, it doesn't matter. Good master, bad master. Good employer, bad employer. Good supervisor, bad supervisor. It doesn't matter. You still need to respond to them appropriately. Why? Because in verses 19 and 20, he says, this finds favor with God. There's something about how we respond. In Peter's day, slaves to their masters, there's something about how we respond to that that pleases God. Notice he says, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering wrongly. Now you're a slave. Somebody bought you. You're in a situation that you had absolutely no control over. You're doing what you've been told to do, knowing that to not do it would be disastrous. But you bear up under that. And then if you skip down toward the end of verse 20, he says, But when you do what is right and suffer for it patiently and endure it, this finds favor with God. There's something about enduring injustice patiently. Understanding that even in the injustice, God is in control, God has a will, God has a desire, and God can use it. Again, it doesn't justify slavery. Don't misunderstand. But God is God, and He can use any circumstance to His honor and glory to draw you closer to Himself and make you a stronger person. Now, if that can happen in the midst of slavery, surely that can also happen where we work, and the people we work for, and the people we work with. You get treated wrongly. I know you do. Unjustly sometimes. It happens. The question is, how do you respond to it? How do you respond to it? Patiently? Knowing that somebody else is in charge? Knowing that there's something to be learned through this experience? Now, some of you know I skipped over something, because there is an antithesis to all of this. Peter also says, for what credit is there, first part of verse 20, when you sin and are harshly treated and endure it with patience? You do something at work, not accidentally, but on purpose. You know it's not right. You know you're not supposed to do it. And you get called on the carpet for it. And there you just stand as patiently and as kind as possible. And Peter says, what value is that? You've proven nothing. But even in injustice, God sees value. Because at the beginning of verse 21, he says, for you have been called for this purpose. See, anybody can do well when things are going great. What God wants to see in you and me are men and women who meet the challenge and come out ahead for it. Now, we've read this already, so you know where this is going. Jesus is our example. Christ is our example. First of all, He knew no sin and no deceit. Well, that's a quote from Isaiah 53, and that does not apply to us. But it's a great picture. Here is a guy who did absolutely nothing to deserve what's happening to him. You and I can almost never say that. It happens, but usually I'm dealing with the consequence of my own dumb choices. But my example, here's a man who did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing. And in the midst of that, no retaliation. He trusted himself to him who judges righteously. Think about that. If Jesus was trusting his heavenly Father, knowing his heavenly Father was righteous, he wasn't going to allow anything to happen that didn't need to happen. They'd already had that discussion in the garden, remember? If there's any other way, and it was clear there wasn't. Jesus trusted his heavenly Father to do what is right. And what was the result of that? So that we might die to sin, and by his wounds you were healed. There's the example. Jesus. Now, can we accomplish the same things? Absolutely not. But what an example. Something happens at work. Comes from corporate. It's the supervisor, the foreman. Or it's another employee. Somebody has done something. Said something. You've been demoted. Pay cut. Lost a job. Through no fault of your own. Attempting to retaliate? Sure. Make threats? That's in there also. Imagine Jesus. Did you see that? While being reviled, he didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. You know, Jesus could have threatened anything, and it would have happened. You and I can only make threats. That's all we can do. Regularly, we can't follow through. But Jesus? He trusted his Father. And as a result of his trust, as a result of everything that he did, we have salvation. Because he went through that, we have been healed. Our supreme example is Jesus. Therefore, servants, be submissive to your masters. Our introduction reminded us to remember where we've been. Our conclusion, don't forget. Verse 25. You were continually straying like sheep. That's what we were before Christ. That's who we were. Now, I don't know much about sheep. All I know about sheep is pretty much what I've read here. But I know other animals. They just kind of run around without much purpose. Apparently sheep do that too. They need someone to guide them and to direct them. And that's who we were. out there all by ourselves, just kind of roaming around. But now, last part of verse 25, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. That's who we are. There's something really, really challenging and encouraging in all of that. You have returned. Now, this isn't talking about having salvation, losing salvation, coming back to salvation, or anything like that. This is all about the fact that even before we came to Christ, we were made in the image and likeness of God. We didn't look like it, we didn't act like it, but we were. And we were out there doing our own thing. And when we come to Christ, when we realize that God loves us and that Jesus died for us and that we can know for the forgiveness of sins through His finished work, when all of that comes together for us and we make that choice, it's like we've come back. We are now where we were always designed to be. His children. We've returned to the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. We can be good employees. We can even be good slaves if we're trusting Him who judges righteously. The owner's not in control. The supervisor's not in control. That fellow employee that seems to be a thorn in the neck all just constantly. Not in control. Trust the one who is. And make right choices. And in that, be submissive. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and communicated it clearly so that it's your word we're responding to, not some illustration, not some random thought, but responding to your word, what it says, and how we are to respond to it. May each of us be open and honest before you, listening to your Holy Spirit, determined to make the adjustments that your word calls us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.